Before we begin item N, I call on Justice Hall.
Yes, thank you, Chief. I owe you and the council a small apology. Due to the press of business last week, both personal and professional, and over the weekend, and indeed yesterday, I have not been able, by the time of my report this morning, to receive an itemized list of the new RUPRO members. I know who they are, obviously, but I was not able to recognize them. I'd like to do that now. Our new members for this year are the Honorable Brian J. Back, Presiding Judge of the Superior Court of California, County of Ventura. Honorable David D'Alba, Judge of the Superior Court of California, County of Sacramento. Judge D'Alba has been with us before, and we're pleased to see him return. The Honorable David E. Gunn, Commissioner of the Superior Court of California, County of Riverside. Honorable David Rosenberg, Judge of the Superior Court of California, County of Yolo, like Judge D'Alba, has been with us before. We're pleased to see him back. The Honorable Martin J. Tangeman, Assistant Presiding Judge of the Superior Court of California, County of San Luis Obispo. The Honorable Joan P. Weber, Judge of the Superior Court of California, County of San Diego, and Mr. Richard D. Feldstein, the Court Executive Officer for the County of Napa. And as to my weak effort to tease Justice Miller about my former RUPRO members, I will say that while we certainly appreciated their thoughtful consideration over the years of RUPRO matters, I'm absolutely confident that our new members will be able to admirably fill their shoes. So thank you very much, Chief.
Thank you. Commissioner Gunn?
Just so there's no confusion, there is an Honorable David Gunn in Riverside, but I am not he. I am the Honorable David Gunn in Butte County.
There you go.
I'm going 0-2 today.
E&P thinks you ought to quit while you're ahead.
Next on our agenda is item N, trial court trust fund allocations. Sounds like 2% state level reserve process. And we welcome here the presiding judge, Thomas DeSantos from Superior Court of Kings County. Also assistant presiding judge, Stephen Barnes, Superior Court of Kings County. Mr. Zlatko Theodorovich, Judicial Council Finance. Mr. Patrick Ballard, Judicial Council Finance. And Kurt Soderlund, Chief Administrative Officer.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And members of the council, Chief Justice, we basically this is our third time we've been before you, and we have our application in with respect to the request. And basically it's a third time, and we're giving you our annual report the way we had set up this funding method for the past 4 or 5 year situation, but I think we're on budget and on time with respect to the new CMS program. Judge Barnes, the assistant presiding judge, actually has been tasked with heading up that program, and he's the one pretty much responsible for the way we have it set up, the application. Judge Barnes.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. We're very pleased to be here. I would first like to thank all of the staff, the Judicial Council, for all of their assistance, as well as the time and effort that all of the members have taken to become involved in this particular project for the County of Kings. It's a tremendous windfall for us. To get right to the point, we went live yesterday with this program. As you might imagine, we had some little hiccups. I've got some calls this morning about starting about 6 o'clock. And we've got some things, we've got some workarounds, but Tyler has an entire staff there. We've got about 15 people there working on it. We got through all the difficulties yesterday. We expect everything to go well. Some of you, I know, had some questions with the Department of Motor Vehicles. We had one little hiccup yesterday. I was advised this morning that the folks in Plano, Texas at Tyler Technologies worked on it all night to get that little glitch worked out. Shouldn't have a difficulty with it today, so it's moving along as well as we can expect. Anybody has any questions with respect to that, I'd be happy to answer those questions for you.
Thank you. Yes, Judge Herman.
Well, congratulations. As the council members may or may not know, Kings County is the second county after San Luis Obispo to go live with Tyler Technologies as a product. And I know there were a few glitches within the DMV, and as the council has been advised, a work stream is being set up in order to coordinate state-level justice partners, courts, and vendors to try to smooth out interfaces and data exchange and standards. So that's a go-forward project and sort of a pioneer in terms of Tyler Technologies, one of the three RFP vendors. Congratulations on the outcome. I know the DMV issue delayed you by a couple of months. Our best wishes and good luck going forward. And I know in the Tyler user group, someone is chewing something very interesting.
Put the guinea pig back in the cage.
I know that you will continue to share all of your experience and intelligence with the Tyler user group, as well as more broadly for the benefit of all the courts. So thank you.
And I appreciate your comments, Judge Herman, and I will tell you that this is, at least as far as from our standpoint, I know that we're in San Luis Obispo, and we use some of the difficulties that San Luis had with Tyler or vice versa, and I was able to get some prompting from our presiding judge, who allowed me time and opportunity to, over the last 2 or 3 months, put a lot of effort into this, and we were able to plan ahead and come up with some workarounds or some things that we were aware were unique to California, such as starting the e-filing with the probation department and the court reporter's transcripts as of yesterday. That filing began without a hitch, which is extremely important because we're very soon not going to have any paper files and we won't have any place to put those reports. So having those in the computer system in advance worked extremely well. Everyone's worked very hard to do that. And I appreciate, Judge Herman's giving me an opportunity to become involved in a governance committee while all this was happening. And it was very kind of him to do that, and I look forward to perhaps helping in that way again. And, of course, this is a statewide system. We look at it, of course, as our system, but it's a system that I believe there's a substantial number of courts that have agreements with this particular vendor, and if our court or myself can be available in any way that my presiding judge would allow me to do so, I'd be happy to help.
Thank you, Judge Barnes. I ask Judge Schlau if you wanted to have any input on this. I know you were on the working group. Did you want to speak to this at all?
Just this and maybe another issue, I just want to compliment the Kings County for the good work they've done. Not only have they worked very hard to solve a problem, but they are also on the bleeding edge solving problems for the 20-something other courts that are going to Tyler. And thank you for being out front for us. Congratulations for what you've accomplished today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just one more comment, Chief. Judge Barnes, is, I understand that you're the San Luis Obispo had their own physical and virtual servers, and as I understand it, your court is the first court to use Tyler's cloud technology.
Yeah, I think the actual correct term would probably be software as a service. We're leasing the software, and our software servers are actually at Tyler or in the Plano, Texas. We use a fiber optic, about 40 megs a second. Works as if the computer's sitting right in front of us. They download in the middle of the night. We have a judge's edition in the regular Odyssey program. Works like $1 million. They have redundant backup back on the East Coast. it's the best way to do it for a lot of reasons without taking up a lot of time. The main reason for us is because we only have 7 judges, although we're approved for more, but for some reason can't get another one, which is probably an issue for another day. We couldn't afford to put the we don't have the funds or the ability or capability to hire people, technically wise, IT people, to run servers in our particular court. So that's it was a perfect opportunity to us for us to take advantage of that issue. I believe it's the first that in California that's going to go that way, although there may be other courts that will do the same. Thus far, it's worked perfectly.
Thank you. So you have for your review on page 4 of your materials 3 options, and they're self-explanatory, and I'm prepared to hear a motion.
So
can I
sure. Zlotko, and as I look at the 3 different options and read those, it appears that option 2 is the one that's in line with the current Judicial Council policy. Is that correct?
Yes, the approval is subject to this first month is up to the amount that was contributed. Let me just frame that recommendation and how it was adopted by the council. Was there was a concern when we developed this that there could be so many requests for the first month that they could overwhelm the fund, and we didn't want those to sort of first in to get the lion's share. And so that was a concern. But in this case now, there's the requests are less than $1 million out of $37 million. That concern is mitigated. But, yes, the process is that you get what you you're eligible to receive what you put in first. And then the subsequent council meeting is where you would approve any balance of the request that exceeds the amount that they had put into the fund. But one could make a first recommendation and a second recommendation in terms of this, so that they don't have to come back to the next council meeting. It could just be presented almost as an informational, if that's a consent item, if that's how we want to proceed, say, for the December meeting.
All right, so then how does that fit with option three then?
That was just in light of what I just spoke about, was that if the council wanted to, in light of the way I've described it, take that approach for a court, is to allocate the full amount, notwithstanding the prior council structure for the approvals.
All right. Can we just ask who's ever on the phone maybe to mute their phone while they're not speaking, because we're getting a lot of background info noise. Usually it's my dogs when I'm at home, but they have birds.
So would you like me to proceed through the presentation?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So as on the last issue, obviously we had quite a bit of discussion about the supplemental funding process, and the bottom line is that they have to project that they will have a negative fund balance, meaning costs greater than resources, basically, and that the reason that they're in a negative fund balance position is due to an unavoidable funding shortfall, unanticipated expense, or unforeseen emergency. And this is the third year of this process. Per statute, as we discussed previously, they have to submit for the first round no later than October 1st. And the amounts can be up to the amount that was included. And then future distributions can be based on the amount that they need above their contribution to the 2%. We have four courts that are before us today, Del Norte, Kings, Mono, and Siskiyou. Representatives from Del Norte, Mono, and Siskiyou are on the phone for questions. They did not ask to make formal presentations. What we did as staff this time, because we were concerned about the number of requests and trying to get a little bit of help and also some operational help, is that we asked that the Budget Advisory Committee provide staff a working group to provide subject matter expertise and input on the review, because there are some questions that we believe are best asked by the practitioners and not necessarily as folks who are just doing the fiscal analysis. And so that was a good process, we felt, and as you see that it was part of what was presented to you in the changes to the 2% process, but we thought that was very important. And so the group met several times, and in many cases they discussed issues with the courts, and the overall results is yes, based on the numbers that were presented, there will be negative fund balances. So we ticked that box off in terms of the simple math. But what was important here was that only Kings County demonstrated unavoidable funding shortfalls in the eyes and minds of the members of the subcommittee. And I think this would be a time where I would maybe ask for some feedback from Mary Beth Todd and Judge Slough, because they were very involved in this process. We wanted to be as helpful to the courts in this sort of difficult time for them. So I'd ask if they could provide some comments on that.
Sure. So Zlatko asked if I could provide some insight into kind of what the committee's working group's view of the proposals were. As he mentioned, Kings County was the only one where we felt there was an unavoidable funding shortfall. This is the third and final year of their request of a multi-year request. In previous years demonstrated in their initial application that a new case management system was critical to their operations. a review of their budget demonstrates they are still unable to absorb the costs of the new case management system. They continue to take measures to operationalize budget reductions, including 16 furlough days for court employees. The trial court, I think, needs to be recognized. They've worked to keep the cost below the original projected budget. The original projection was $2.1 million. It looks like it's going to come in at $1.37 million. That's a substantial savings to what we initially had agreed to fund. And so with respect to the King's request, the working group felt it was suitable for approval of the supplemental funding request. With respect to the remaining requests from Siskiyou, Amador, Del Norte, and Mono, we did not feel that those requests identified an urgent or unanticipated expense. It appeared that for those requests, it really was a result of a failure or inability or just had not had an opportunity to operationalize the budget reductions that many courts throughout the states have been operationalizing and experiencing the negative impacts of over the past few years. The Amador request was incomplete, and it's my understanding it's since been withdrawn. The Siskiyou request appeared to align more with a cash advance request, and so the reviewing working group felt it would be more suitable for a cash advance request. The other two proposals were from small courts, Del Norte and Mono. They've been able to enjoy the benefits of a large fund balance the past several years and have been supplementing their shortfalls from that fund balance. And so this year, they are feeling the effects of these budget reductions that, like I said, many courts that haven't had the fund balance have had to make changes to operationalize. So it really wasn't a matter of an urgent or unanticipated need. It's an ongoing budget issue that even if supplemental funding were provided in this year, I think they're going to have to address it in the long term. So the working group did not support approval of those requests going forward. We did recognize, though, that it's difficult for courts to operationalize, that this is a whole new world. And so we did discuss some outreach, and Judge Slough is going to talk about that.
As Mary Beth stated, you know, what those courts are experiencing should not be taken lightly by any of us. They are consistent with the issues, structural deficits that many courts up and down the state are facing and will continue to face until there is robust money coming back to fund the trial courts. Compounding the issue is the 1% reserve. What you could handle in the past, you can't handle now. And so we did agree that it really did not fall within that emergent situation. However, we all also fully agreed that we need to reach out to those counties who have asked for this help. And in that regard, Mary Beth Todd and I, through the good help of Jody Patel and other judicial counsel staff, have scheduled phone conferences with a couple of the courts, and we want to dialogue with them to kind of help us all get our arms around what can, in other than this particular situation, granting the emergent fund situation, what can be accomplished to really get to a root of solving their problem. So we are going to be talking with them, offering whatever assistance we can, but really not just to them, to any other county court system that finds itself in this really difficult situation. We as sister courts and as leadership of the presiding courts and SEAC want to reach out to those courts and help find a solution.
Thank you. Justice Hull.
Thank you, Chief. Zlotko or whoever cares to respond. It appears to me, as Justice Miller pointed out, that option two as to each of these courts is the one most consistent with current judicial counsel policy. And I was thinking about our previous discussion about the 2% statewide reserve, because option two certainly does not fully fund the shortfall. I'm assuming that in the spring, that to the extent our state 2% reimburses counties money, each of these counties will get their pro rata share of that money, and so that's going to help. But if even that's not enough, are there still opportunities for those courts seek further assistance from the council to not finish the year in the red?
Well, there's ample funds in the 2% to address the $900,000 here, be it if it's only the amount first contributed and then subsequently coming back for the balance. And there's plenty for other courts. It's a matter of, again, it's when that money's returned, every other court that didn't have an ask will get less. So there's a zero-sum game here where it's not money outside of the system.
So by March 15th of next year, it could be that, that each of these counties and other counties are, I suppose, in a similar situation, may have some further relief, although it would not completely offset their fiscal problems at that point.
In the case of, say, Siskiyou, they're asking for the amount that they contributed, and based on our analysis, it is a matter of them getting those funds. They have an issue of cash flow. So it's not, we see it as an overall, they did not assume that they would get any of the funds back, and that's why they projected a negative. If they got that back, they would be whole. It's a matter of doing a cash process. So that's something we as staff can do regardless outside of this process. So that would be easy for them to solve the problem.
Thank you, Zlotko. Thank you, Chico.
So, yes, Judge Tangeman.
I have a question. Do courts that receive supplemental funds remain in the pool for reimbursement of the unused balance of the 2% later? And does it make a difference whether they have received an advance of supplemental funds at more or less than their 2% contribution?
They do remain in the pool, so they'll get an initial allocation and then their share of the remainder. So they would get, in theory, an amount plus a bit more, so that does exist. And I'm trying to remember if I can respond to your second question.
Does it make a difference whether they have received more or less than their 2%? It sounds like you've answered that question. If they receive, for example, taking Kings County, if they receive $509,000 today, mm-hmm. Or through the approval process, then they'll also be in the pool to receive
right.
an additional percentage
share, yes.
of the remaining 2% balance when it is redistributed in March.
Correct.
So there are, well, before I go into the summary and ask to take each request separately and have anyone speak to each request, including those folks on the phone, Judge Stout.
Thank you, Chief. This is one of those situations that's challenging for me, especially coming from a small rural court and Mono County being a neighbor, but I think this is perhaps one of those classic examples of council members, we don't represent a particular constituency, and I think the fiscal cliff of July 1, 2014 was devastating, obviously, to all of us, and I know coming from a small rural court where we basically lost a third of our staff, as we heard in one of the reports this morning, we, too, have staff hanging on by their fingernails and trying to keep the court open and functioning. And I think we all can empathize with Del Norte and Mono and Siskiyou. And, I know there are other courts that haven't put in applications or aren't pending, Amador for one, that are in similar situations. And well, I have to agree with the recommendation of the committee that this was not, with the exception of Kings, doesn't qualify as unforeseen or unanticipated emergency situations. I sincerely appreciate the outreach from Judicial Council staff and Presiding Judges Advisory Committee. And I think that the situation presented to us today really emphasizes the need to advocate respectfully around the 1% reserve. One of my concerns about the fourth recommendation that was before us immediately preceding this agenda item is that I hope we don't send the wrong message to the governor, the legislature, by just temporarily suspending our policy. I think we're committed to respectfully what we have and continue to respectfully disagree with the 1% reserve and communicate that and advocate for change. But we're all doing our very best, and I'm sure we'll continue to do our best to live within that 1% reserve. But I think it emphasizes the need for advocacy to get that increased, and perhaps also emphasizes the need to re-examine the application of the Waffen formula to the small rural courts, and we've had that discussion before. So, thank you.
Yes. First, Judge Brandlin, and then Justice Miller.
Thank you, Chief. First, I wanted to commend the leadership of the Kings County Superior Court. I think they've acted responsibly and prudently, and they found themselves, unfortunately, in a position where they need the help. My dissent deals with whether or not the 2% reserve is the appropriate funding source for CMS. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge Brandlin. Justice Miller?
So I'd like to make a motion and divide it in two on this particular matter, that with regards to Del Norte, Mono, and Siskiyou, that we adopt option one, which is to deny the court's request for those three courts.
Let me ask, the motion's been made, but I realize there are folks on the phone who've been following this, and I want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity in every county that's made the application to speak to counsel here today, notwithstanding the language and the comments we received thus far. So in terms of that, the second part of the motion, where Justice Miller has identified Del Norte, Siskiyou, and Mono as a recommendation to deny the application, does anyone on the phone or here at council wish to speak to those counties and their requests?
This is Hector Gonzalez with Mono Superior Court. I would definitely like to speak at whatever point is appropriate.
Please proceed, Mr. Gonzalez.
Well, I'm the CEO for the Superior Court in Mono, and obviously I take responsibility for the obviously the fiscal situation that we are in. The only thing I would say is just want to be sure that the characterization is correct in that we did take measures to operationalize our budget reductions prior to making this budget supplemental request. We did so by basically nibbling around the edges. We closed a branch location. We relocated staff. We kept a couple of vacant positions open during the point that we had a very large budget surplus that was generated because of courthouse construction. And that budget surplus, as was mentioned, was something that we did rely on as our cushion. But quite frankly, if you look at our budget, every year, even when we had our budget surplus, we never spent more than our budget allocation. Every year we came in under budget, even though we had a surplus. So our court has never, you never exceeded our budget allocation and had to rely on our surplus. We just had that surplus available to cover what was anticipated TCTF, major reductions that came through the years. And there was a point, obviously, where I had the choice to make, which is I knew we were getting close to the point where we thought the governor's budget reductions would end. And I thought that now we just barely made it with at that point and didn't need to operationalize any more severe budget reductions, such as furloughs. We did not furlough until this fiscal year, and we are now furloughing 13 furlough days for half a fiscal year. If we are not given the supplemental budget request, we'll have to do 24 furloughs within a six-month period in order to cover the budget shortfall, which is an equivalent of about a month worth of operation that our court will not be open for business. So obviously I understand the reasoning of the working group and of the council. I would hope at the very least that the 2% reserve fund might be made available to at least give us some amount of remedy. But clearly, the denial of the entire request is going to put a very severe strain on our entire court operation, beyond the measures that we've already taken.
Thank you, Mr. Gonzalez. Justice Hull.
Thank you, Chief. Perhaps I should wait to see if Justice Miller's motion is seconded. I can wait to make my comment until that time or make it now.
I'll second.
All right. Second by Judge Jacobson.
These were very difficult questions. I mean, I understand the thought behind the motion is that the three courts that are recommended for no additional funding at this point in time may perhaps have done things differently and perhaps better so that they didn't find themselves in this situation. From what I heard from Mary Beth Todd and Judge Slough, That doesn't suggest any intentional avoidance of their responsibilities. But then we come to the point where they're here, and they're here in this situation. And I do wonder if we, unless somewhere down the road, and I'm certainly not expert on this, if we can simply say, well, we're sorry. You know, you're going to have to take things as they are. Have additional layoffs, as we just heard. Have additional court closures. And I would be inclined, subject to the further discussion around the council chambers, but I would be inclined to at least be more in favor at this point of option two, so that we don't have these outright failures, and with the understanding that the working group and their efforts will help these courts and courts in a similar situation to work through the difficulties and so that this doesn't happen again.
I think, though, from what I understand, is there's still the availability of a cash advance, correct? And until we find out whether or not funds will be distributed to the court.
Yeah, cash advances are available, but for Mono and Del Norte, they have a budget problem, and so they're projecting to spend more than they have resources. They will need the cash and the budget authority that this process would afford them. In terms of reevaluating, one of the issues that was discussed with Judge Slough and Mary Beth Todd was maybe there could be further dialogue and examination of their operations, because we still do have the December, January, and February budget council meetings from which we could report back. Whereas with San Joaquin from several years ago, when they were experiencing troubles, the council, as part of the approval of their funds and their loan and their allocation, there was this court assessment and review team, and over 50, 60 recommendations were made, headed by, you know, supported by Jody and her staff. We're trying to maybe compress that and see if we can get a little bit more assistance before we potentially immediately think that this is the amount. There may be options that, you know, the bright minds from SEAC and the PJs can help these courts maybe get to somewhere that is. Because it's the question, I think, at hand for the council is what happens next year? And Mary Beth Todd said, what are the plans? This is not intended to be an ongoing funding source. So unless there are structural changes made, then they would be returning. And I think that is, if I recall at the very first meeting, Judge Wesley asked the question, what is your plan to avoid this next year?
And so in essence, my motion would be without prejudice to coming back in December after the court execs and the PJs have had the opportunity and our judicial counsel staff to meet with them.
And I think you talked about the CART team, and we remember the CART team also helping and assisting and bringing best practices. So I'm sorry, on the phone, please proceed.
Yes, this is Hector Gonzalez again. I just want to make sure clear that in our supplemental budget request, we were very clear and confident that we would not need to return next year for supplemental funding. That is correct that we could not take this as a cash advance loan. But we are very confident now with increased revenues and continuation of current budget reductions and even new budget reductions, we would not need to come back next year. That we are very confident on. We're a court that has always, as I said, been within budget or below budget when we are able to know what our budget is. When we have budget uncertainty, that's obviously where the call I made in terms of counting on what I thought was going to be returned to previous funding levels because all the good news that came out of Sacramento until the governor's surprise hit us, that was my bad judgment call. My point is that we will not need to come back. Unfortunately, we have not had an opportunity to talk to Mary Beth or anyone else from the trial court budget working group prior to today's meeting. I know we're scheduled to meet tomorrow, but I'm very confident that if we were given even the 2%, we would work really hard, and I'm confident we would not be back. I can't say that for a certainty if we are given no assistance. That's the one point where you create a budget hole for us that just keeps getting bigger and bigger each future fiscal year.
So several speakers, thank you, Mr. Gonzalez, Judge So, Judge Buckley, and Judge Rosenberg.
And if I could interject from the phone, Siskiyou County would like to have an opportunity to speak when it presents itself.
Thank you. Right after Judge Rosenberg, I'll remind you, Siskiyou County. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
A lot of courts are in the position of those three counties, and I think that's one of the reasons why we have this rule. And the rule is there needs to be a demonstrated unavoidable funding shortage. And if that's going to be the rule, I think we have to treat everybody in a similar way, because there are a lot of counties that are going to require laying people off or furloughing people to make their budget to operationalize their cuts. And I suggest that we need to be consistent. And to be consistent, unfortunately, these are difficult decisions, and they're not easy decisions. But everybody in California faces the same situation.
Judge Buckley, Judge Rosenberg.
I had 2 points. Judge So addressed it better than I could as to the first. But we've heard, and we all know it, it's a zero-sum situation. And we can have the empathy, especially for the smaller courts. But we have to realize if we start taking money and giving more to smaller courts or any court, that means there's a net decrease across the board. And there are many, especially smaller courts, that will be hurt and hurt badly if, in fact, they get less than what they're expecting, assuming they're going to get their 2% at the end of the year. So I think we have to recognize that not only do we have to address it in the rules that we have, but there's actually ramifications to other courts if we give these three or four, at least the three, more than what they're otherwise going to get under the 2%.
Judge Rosenberg, then Siskiyou County.
The other two speakers said essentially what I was going to say. These are hard decisions. They're unfortunate decisions. But I agree with the working group. We do have to stay the course. And we have to stay with the unanticipated, unavoidable concept. Otherwise, if we fund these three, we are essentially taking it out of the hide of 55 other courts. And we should not be doing that unless it's unanticipated and unavoidable.
Thank you, Judge Rosenberg. Siskiyou County, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chief. I appreciate it. Mary Frances McHugh, I am the court executive officer, and as Hector said, I agree. I am responsible for submitting the application and also for the situation that we find ourselves in, which is the first time we have ever been in. We were fortunate to have a very prudent history of management and had very healthy fund balances that allowed us to operate very effectively until July 1st, 2014. It should not be a surprise that small courts are having difficulty coping with funding. The applications you see before you today show how close to the razor's edge small courts are now operating as a consequence of insufficient general funds for the trial court and the unworkable 1% cap on fund balances. This creates an even greater burden on small courts because their budgets are smaller. These budgets are made smaller yet by the 2% reserve legislation in Government Code Section 68502.5. Why we should have to apply for this money that's already allocated to us to fulfill our constitutional duty is a huge question to me. And I also put it to you that a negative fund balance is, by definition, an unavoidable funding shortfall. So I think that we fall squarely within the qualifications of Government Code Section 68502.5. I want to point out to you that this court has lost virtually 50% of its staff since 2009. We have operationalized budget reductions across the boards. We have closed a branch, and we have closed three branches. I am corrected. We have closed three branches, And it was all in the face of extreme public opposition, which I have put before you to show how we have coped with operationalizing those budget reductions. At this point in time, operationalizing budget reductions is a euphemism for layoffs. It is a euphemism for furloughs that close courts, that close courtrooms, that close down access to the public. Because the only way that we can provide access to the public is through our employees. They are the link from the court to the public and provide that public service. And we do it on a skeleton. And at this point in time, just as Hector has pointed out for Mono County, we are looking at the closure towards the end of the year of the court for a significant period of time. And that all has to be dealt with in the meet and confer process and at the bargaining table because all of our employees are represented. So this is not something that is, drive in McDonald's and get your special hamburger. It has to be done very, very carefully and very thoughtfully. I appreciate your consideration of this. I appreciate that, you recognize that it's a hard decision, but you're hearing from me. It's a hard decision here, too. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McHugh. Justice Hull?
Thank you again, Chief. As I sort of conditioned my first comments on hearing from the rest of the council and recognizing that our policy requires in these situations a showing of unavoidable funding shortfall, and we've had a working group who has determined that as to these three counties, these were not unavoidable funding shortfalls. That's not to suggest any malfeasance, but to depart from the council's policy at this point would set, I'm afraid, a precedent that would lead only to undoing the, I think, wise policy that we've established in the past. And so listening and being enlightened, frankly, by my colleagues, as I often am on this council, I think under the circumstances I would withdraw my comments in objection to the motion. Thank you.
And I inquire without any expectation of whether Del Norte wishes to be heard. We've heard from Mono and Siskiyou and Kings at this time before the motion that's been made and seconded, that is option number one without prejudice to the three counties previously discussed, whether or not Del Norte cares to weigh in at this time.
This is Sandy Linderman, CEO for Del Norte, and I would concur with Mono County, especially everything that's been said by the other counties. I can only say that we doubled that that thought. We're a very, very small court. We've lived on bare-bone minimums for the whole duration of my tenure here, which has been 13 years. We don't have the luxury or the space to have all these luxury features for a court. Again, we're bare bones. We're now over 20% on the vacancy rate, which we can't afford much more. There's just not enough bodies to go around to fill in even the courtrooms. Again, everything's been said, and I want to second those thoughts.
Thank you, Ms. Linderman. Before we rule on the, before we vote on the motion that's been made, you know, I want to point out that this is exactly the reason why Judicial Council is a statewide policy-making body, and that we are not built and structured like the legislature with representatives who come from districts. We are represented on council by large, small, medium, and extra small courts, and we face problems as a statewide judiciary. And the decimation of the judiciary, as has been described here today by the smaller courts, as well as in the liaison reports that we've heard today and not only throughout, is the result of a decimation of the judiciary statewide that we have been battling since 2008. And this is when the waters part and the water dries up. These are the fissures in the branch as a result of five consecutive years. And this is why, more than ever, it is essential that the branch speak unified about funding the judiciary as a branch, not just one court, not just two courts, not just small courts, not just Supreme Court, not just the Judicial Council staff, but as a branch. And this is an example of one of those issues that tears us apart. All of us can empathize. We have all, from the Supreme Court to Judicial Council to every court here, we've all experienced the furloughs, the layoffs, the freezes, the stockpiling of toilet paper, all of that we have all made in an effort. But the bigger push is as a branch to advocate for adequate new investment in the branch and projects that can fill those voids. This is one of those difficult decisions of council that we have to make pretty regularly, it seems to me, in the last 4 years. All comments are well received. Option one is without prejudice, meaning that this will come back, especially after a CART team may confer with these particularly affected counties that have, as alleged here today, a budget problem, not an unavoidable shortfall, not an unavoidable, unanticipated emergency. So with those comments in mind, this is only one part of Justice Miller's motion, and it applies to the three counties described. It is option one. I'm going to start with a voice vote and then necessary go to a roll call. And Judge Rubin.
I like justice, but Judge will do it for today. Could someone repeat the motion just so I can hear it again in its particulars?
It was to deny the court's request for Mono, Siskiyou, and Del Norte.
Without prejudice.
Without prejudice.
But not Kings.
All right. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
I have a second motion, and that is to approve option three for Kings.
Second. Second by Judge Jacobson. Any further discussion on option three for Kings? Mary Beth Todd.
I would just support option three as this is the third and final request. This has been a long project for Kings. As we've seen, courts are struggling. This process is burdensome. And so I think to support option three and go ahead and make this approval and wish them congratulations and good luck with your new case management system, I think would be appropriate.
Not seeing any further hands raised on the matter, all in favor of option number three for Kings, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Judge Bradlin, thank you. And Judge Bath?
No. I voted aye.
So the matter motion carries. New issue, Judge Bath.
I just wanted to make one comment, and I think it bothers all of us if we think about it. We all know what is meant by operationalizing our budget reductions. We all know. But in terms of our advocacy, we wouldn't want the legislature or the governor's office to conclude, oh, see, they're operationalizing their budget reductions. No big deal. I think what our message to them is we are surviving our fiscal malnourishment because we are surviving, but we are just, we're wasting away. And I just wouldn't want that term. The term budget, operationalizing our budget reductions was used probably 15 times today. It was used in the trial court presiding judge's advisory committee, and it just doesn't fit well if we're trying to convey a message to somebody who says, you apparently have no problem because you're operationalizing your reductions. So let's move on to the next issue. I just think we should be careful with our euphemisms.
Thank you, Judge Beck.
Chief Justice and members of the council, as well as staff, Kings County thanks you.
Thank you all.
Thank you. One moment. Can I also call on Assemblymember Bloom and then Judge Slough?
Thank you, Chief. I just wanted to respond to the prior comment and say that I think it's safe to say that for the legislature's part, we understand what operationalizing these losses mean. It may be that some of that is lost on the public, but we know and we hear from the public on a regular basis, and we hear from our branch courts about courtroom closures, about loss of access. So I don't want you to think that, at least from the perspective of the legislature, there's a misunderstanding about what is going on at the courts. And as you know, I try not to speak a lot in these meetings, but the opportunity arises with this topic to remind the Judicial Council that the legislature provided significantly more funding in its budget proposal last year and passed a budget that had significantly more funding. I'm anticipating that we'll at least attempt to do the same again in the coming year, but this is an ongoing issue, and it is disconcerting to me in a period of time when budgets are being restored across the state and services are being restored for our constituents across the state on a variety of important priorities, including education and other things. It's disconcerting to see that that's not happening and continuing to not happen with the courts, so we'll continue to work hard on the issue.
Thank you, Assemblymember Bloom. Judge Slough?
Chief, I just want to circle back and say how much we will, with Mary Beth Todd and Judicial Council staff, help reach out to not only these counties, to put our heads together, to find hopeful, viable solutions to keep us from all going further into the quicksand. And we take that responsibility very seriously. We offer it to these counties, and we offer it to any other county who finds themselves on that razor's edge like so many of us have over the past few years. And we take that seriously, and we will follow up, Chief.
Thank you. And I know you'll report back. We'll be eagerly anticipating those results. Thank you, Judge Slough. Thank you. Thank you for your presentation today.
Thank you very much.